Good morning and welcome to Trinity United Methodist Church. We are so grateful that you are here to worship Jesus, our Lord and Savior and coming King, with us here this morning. As we open up this time of praise and worship, would you please stand and may we bow our heads and our hearts and open up with a word of prayer today. Let us pray. Gracious God, we praise you, Almighty King. We thank you for your grace, for your mercy, and for your love. We especially thank you for Jesus, our Lord and our Savior and our healer and our coming King. We bless you this morning. We invite you into this service and we give it over to you. We set it aside for your glory. We consecrate it all for your honor. May you be worshiped and only you. May you be praised and only you. May you open our hearts and impact our minds and just open up our very being that we may be forever changed. May you truly grow inside of us, and may we reflect your love to this world. May we be on task, the task that you call us to, and may you receive the honor, the praise, and the glory, for it is you that is due worthy of that praise. We commit this into your care. In the holy name of the blessed name of the risen Jesus, the Christ, we do pray. Amen.
So good to be in the house of the Lord today. Amen. Let's turn to our neighbor and say, God is good.
God is good.
God is good. There's no space that his love can't reach. There's no place where we can't find peace. There's no end to amazing grace.
As we bow our heads, Heavenly Father, we do thank you for that. We thank you for allowing us to hold on to you, Lord. We thank you for allowing your words to be just the best words we've ever heard. The assurance, Lord, that you are there for us and that you will one day have us with you forever and ever. Because that day we'll fly away and we'll get to meet you, Lord. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Some glad morning when this life is over, I the shores, I'll fly away. Oh, I'll fly away, oh glory, and I'll fly away in the morning when I die. Hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. When the shadows of this life have gone, I'll fly away. Like a bird from prison bars have flown, I'll fly away. Whoa, I'll fly away, oh glory, and I'll fly away in the morning when I die. Hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. Just a few more weary days and then I'll fly away to a land where joy shall never end. I'll fly away. Whoa, I'll fly away, oh glory, and I'll fly away in the morning when I die. Hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. Whoa, I'll fly away, oh glory, and I'll fly away in the morning when I die. Hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. Whoa, I'll fly away. Whoa, I'll fly away.
As we bow our heads, Heavenly Father, we do thank you for allowing us to fly away one day to see you. Because what an awesome and glorious Father you are. There isn't anything that we have done that you won't forgive us for. We only have a bright, bright future, just as those young children today, as they reach towards you, Lord, for a baptism. Lord, we know that you have their lives in your hands, and you have our lives in your hands. Lord, we thank you for that, for how great you are. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Oh, Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hand has made, stars, I hear the rolling thunder, my path throughout the universe displayed. How
As we bow our heads, Heavenly Father, we do thank you for how great you are, Lord, for all you've done for us. Father, allow us to dedicate our lives to you, just as these children here today will do, Lord. Father, allow us to step out for you. Allow our words to be the words of proclaiming your wonderfulness, Lord, all that you've done and everything that you will do for us. Lord, we thank you for that, and we ask a special blessing over this church and all that are here and those that could not be here. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
You may be seated. Before we continue this time of worship here this morning, I just want to highlight a couple announcements on the back of your bulletin. If you would turn to the back of your bulletin, please. And we have upcoming on Sunday, October the 30th, our first annual Trunk or Treat, and we have a slideshow if anyone is wondering exactly what that looks like. And basically, friends, it's just you decorate the trunk of your car and you pass out candy. It's during the trick-or-treat time for the village of Gibsonburg on Sunday, October the 30th from 5 to 7 p.m. There is also a donation sign-up sheet on the fellowship hall table for a few items for the trunk-or-treat, apple cider and candy and different items such as that sort. So as God leads, may you be a part of that wonderful outreach. And friends, as we continue to outreach to the community, you might be wondering how you should go about sharing your faith. And I just am ecstatic about the group that has been meeting on Friday nights. And yes, it's Friday nights. And basically, sometimes Friday nights we are involved in other, you know, entertainment activities and different things like that. But you're not going to want to miss this. It's called Frontline, and it's learning how to share your faith. It goes from 6 to about 7:30 p.m., and so if you have questions on what I need to say, how do I go about sharing my faith, what do I need to do, please come on Friday night at 6 p.m. We would love to have you. And I'm going to invite Mary come forward, and she's going to share with us what has been upon her heart this past week.
It's on? Yep. Good morning, everybody. So my name is Mary. Just like our little blue paper says in our bulletin, how blessed we are to live in this country, the freedoms that we have. It's a country that was built under God, under his blessing, and we know today that the enemy is trying to destroy our wonderful country. He is there to steal, kill, and destroy all that is good from God. And but God has not left us defenseless. He has equipped us with his word. He has, in Ephesians 6, he says, daily put on the armor of God. And he has a lot of protective, defensive armor that we put on. But what we do have that is greater than anything the enemy can bring against us is the word of God that is our the sword of the Spirit. And there's nothing greater, nothing that can defeat that. And I've been seeing some verses in the Word that really spoke to me about that and what's going on in our country. And I know that if we just join together and pray those words, those powerful words that nothing can destroy, praising our God, telling him that we are following him, he is our Lord, he is our King. All nations bow to him. She put them in the bulletin, and I would just invite you to pray them with me every day and see what God can do, because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He did miracles then, and he does miracles now. And something I was reading this morning that just really spoke to me out of the Liberator. It says, yes, what is happening to America may seem surreal, but do not be discouraged, because we serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Our Creator will not be mocked. God has called you and I into this moment to stand for him. So I'm asking you to stand with me. And then the verse from 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14 is his promise to us. He says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, I will hear them from heaven, and I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. Praise God.
Yes.
So thank you for letting me speak to you about that, and I just hope you can fight that battle with me.
Okay. Thank you, Mary. Friends, we do live in a unique time here in our country, and with the upcoming election, sometimes we wonder exactly what it is that we can do. And obviously, I would encourage everybody to get out and vote in November. But also, leading up to November, as Mary brought to our attention, we can pray. We can pray, we can pray, and then we can pray again. And then when we're tired of praying, we can pray some more. And then when we think we've been all prayed out, we can pray again. And it might sound silly for me to say that, but you know what? God hears the prayer of a righteous person, and the prayers of a righteous person availeth much, means that happens and it makes things happen. And so I invite you to join with us at the bottom of that insert in your bulletin, to join with us here at Trinity as we make a commitment to pray for our government leaders, to pray for this country, and to pray for the upcoming election. And whatever that looks like, if that looks like one prayer every day, then pray one prayer every day. If it looks like a half an hour, pray a half an hour, but pray. So about.
Because I see it's on the back of the bulletin. Towards the bottom, it says 40 days of praying for your nation. It's you, if you go online to Cry Out 16, it is, they're praying for our nation, 40 days, and there's scripture for each day and things that they're praying together. So not only here, which is awesome, but also with the whole nation that is praying. So it's a really good resource. And okay. So I go on there daily. They'll send you it daily.
Okay.
So
okay.
You sign up.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Yep. That's a great resource to help you keep accountable and keep on track. The last announcement I'm going to highlight here is the Charge Conference is Thursday, October the 20th at 7:15. So if you are a member here and you would like to be a part of the annual meeting, please come out and be a part of that. Junior worship is now dismissed for those in kindergarten through fifth grade. We have a special ministry prepared especially for you. And may we all listen to a reading from God's Word here this morning.
Today's scripture will be in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, found on page 1821 of the Pew Bibles, if you care to read along with us. As a prisoner of the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ appointed it, appropriated it. This is why it says, here we are in 11, please. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Until we all reach that unity in faith in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. We're going through 16. Forgive me today. I'm distracted. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. This is the word of God for the people of God. If the ushers will now come forward for our offering.
Why me, Lord? What have I ever done to deserve even one of the pleasures I have known? Tell me, Lord, what did I ever do that was worth loving you, all the kindness you've shown?
Come to you today, thanking you for all the many blessings that you so graciously grant unto us each and every day. As part of those blessings, Father, we placed on your altar this morning our gifts, our tithes, and our offerings, asking your blessing upon them. Bless them and multiply them into your service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You may be seated. This morning we are continuing our series, What I've Learned After 4 Weeks of Marriage. For those of you that are visiting here, I was recently married, but I don't want to make this a day about me. I want to talk about truth. And friends, in our world, we live in a day where the truth is under attack. We see all these things that are surfacing. I mean, you can just begin to talk about politics, and you can begin to see how confusing it can absolutely be. And one of the things that I've learned in the first 4 weeks of being married, I learned many years ago, and I'm here to tell you, it's not until you are married that you really see the full blunt of what I'm going to describe for you. When I was involved with my niece and nephew in their life, many times out of the mouths of babes, they will call you out on certain behaviors, certain actions, and certain things that you do. Is that not correct? It's correct. You know, one day I was driving down the road and I had my nephew with me, and he was about 9 or 10 years old, and I was getting a little agitated with the guy driving in front of me because I needed to be someplace and I was running a little bit behind. And I made some statement like, "Come on, guy, get out the way." And he looked at me and he says, oh, that's showing him the love of God, is it? And I thought, ouch. Now, I'm here to tell you, once you get married, you have somebody else that is in your business all the time, 24 hours a day, 7 days of the week, and they are in your business, are they not? And they see the best and the good and the worst of you every single day. And there's no running from it. There's no hiding from it. There's no excusing it. It is what it is. And friends, it's the truth. And I believe that as the book Sacred Marriage, the author, he presents and he says, what if God's purpose for marriage is to make you more holy than happy? That's truth. That's truth. What if marriage is all about becoming more like Christ than becoming happy? That's truth. And sometimes with the truth that is under attack in our day, I mean, sometimes it's we just don't know what to believe. I mean, our school systems are teaching all kinds of different things. They're teaching different religions. They're teaching Darwinism. They're teaching all kinds of differing beliefs. And as we celebrate the truth of the matter that God has blessed Joe and Jill with this wonderful young life, the truth of the matter is Jesus is on the throne and he's seated at the right hand of God. And so the truth of the matter is this, is that we live in a world where truth is all relative. And what that means is that it doesn't matter what anybody believes, but I get to believe what I want to believe. And no one can encroach on my beliefs, and I am the only one that determines what is true. There's no absolute truth. And the funny thing is that when people believe that belief, they are believing in an absolute truth because they are believing that they are the absolute defining factor of what is true. And so, friends, we worship a God who left us his word, and we think that the Constitution, over 200 years, is old. We worship a God that we have his writing, his love letter to you and to me, that it's over 2,000 years old. And yet we ooh and ah when we go to Washington, D.C., and we see the Constitution under the big, thick glass, and we say, oh, that's amazing, that's amazing. At our fingertips, we have the truth every single day. And the truth is what matters. The interesting thing in the Apostle Paul in the book of Ephesians, the text that we listened to earlier, chapter 4, and if you have your Bibles, please turn there with me and follow along. We're going to read this once again. We're going to read verses 1 through 6 and then 11 through 16. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness and long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all, and in you all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. And then jumping over to verse 11, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in their cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Friends, I don't know about you, but I've mentioned it here before that in our world we see people that are being tossed to and fro. They're being tossed around many times. They have no anchor. They have no solidity in their life. And that is the exact thing that the Apostle Paul is speaking to here. And the key is this, that if you want to not be tossed to and fro, this is what God wants you and me to know, that truth has to be spoken in love. You see, truth without love is just brutality. Love without truth has no substance. I'm going to say that again. Truth without love is brutality. And we can see many examples of this brutality in life. I read of an article this past week about a church that put out a track around Halloween time. And they were speaking truths, but they had pictures of kids that were literally hanging. And they were giving this track about Jesus to these kids, showing these other kids committing suicides, horrible atrocities. You see, truth without love is brutality. And many times you see the Westboro Baptist Church out in the West. They go and they petition and they picket all of these things. And some of the things that they say may be true, but friends, it's not coupled with love. You see, what God wants from you and from me, and I'm going to say it to Joe and Jill, what he wants from you as Claire's parents is to speak truth with love. Truth without love is brutality. Love without truth has no substance. The other end of the coin is this. We can love our kids, and we can enable them to persist in a certain lifestyle, and we aren't helping them at all. And then they grow up and they get tossed to and fro because they have no founding. They have no basis. They have no solidity in life. And friends, it doesn't matter the state of life that you're in. You could be single here. You could be married. You could be, you know, divorced. You could be widowed. Whatever you are, the state of life, the essence is this. But the interesting thing that the Apostle Paul speaks about this, it's not just speaking truth. A better translation would be truthing in love. You put the ing on that word truth and it becomes a different context. It becomes a different meaning. And the essence of what he is saying is a mandate for all of us. He's basically saying, don't just speak the truth, because words without actions are cheap. Words without actions have no meaning. Words without actions have no depth. What the Apostle Paul is challenging the Christian church, and he's challenging Joe and Jill, he's challenging all of us to not just speak truth in love, but to live it. You see Jesus time and time again. You see him with the Samaritan woman at the well. And he speaks to her, and he speaks with truth, but he speaks with love. You see him with the rich young man. Hey, good teacher, what must I do to be saved? And Jesus looks at him and he says, why do you call me good? There is only one that is good. He speaks truth, but he speaks with love. But beyond that, friends, he's not just speaking the truth in love, he is living it. And that's why the scriptures attest that many heard of all the things that he was doing. He was an upright man, he was a righteous man, and quite frankly, friends, he's the Son of God. He is God, and he always will be God. And so Jesus was living the truth in love, and that is our call. That's our mandate. And I wonder if you could imagine with me what our culture would look like if we stopped looking at externals, if we stopped looking at what people do, and if we lived out the truth in love and we reflected the love of God. And that's my charge to you, Joe and Jill, to live out the love of God in truth, in peace, in harmony before Claire. So that she may see the love of God and be attracted to that. And I wonder what our culture would look like if the whole Christian community, and I'm not talking about Trinity here, I'm talking about all the Christian churches across our land, if they would take up the cause of saying, you know what, I care enough about this country that I'm going to get on my knees and I'm going to pray. You know what, I care enough about this person that I want to see them go to heaven, that I'm going to speak words of truth in love to them, but I'm going to hear them. You see, we could just sit down right here. And the implications are huge. The practical applications are huge. What would it look like? What would it look like to truthing in love in your world? What would it look like to be living in the truth of God in my world? You see, friends, this whole passage, you might not have picked this up, but the first three chapters of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul is laying out all of the theology, and he's basically saying, this is what it is. And then the last three chapters, he's basically saying, this is who you are in Christ. And this section of scripture, he's saying, this is about moving out. This is about what God wants to do in the church so that he can reach out. And the pinnacle, the pivot point, the fulcrum of everything that it's all based upon is the truth, truthing in love. Jesus said in himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the way. He is the truth. and the truth will always lead to life. And so as we begin to ponder the implications here, if truth doesn't promote life, if truth doesn't promote a life in someone else, it's not being done in love. Over the last several days, I've been absolutely exhausted, and you can even ask Kathy. She has seen things in me that I'm not absolutely, quite frankly, proud of. I've been frustrated, I've been tired, I've been exhausted, but the truth of the matter is that lady has pointed me to the one truth, Jesus. She said, you gotta pray. You gotta pray. It led to life. It leads to life, friends. The scriptures attest that fathers, do not exasperate your children. Don't exasperate them. And what that means is don't heap up so much stuff on them that they can't live up to what you're expecting. And they throw up their hands and say, forget it. We as Christians can exasperate people in this world by speaking truth that is not coupled with love. The one thing that I hope you get out of here is that speaking truth has nothing, no merit. It's living in truth. It's doing truth. It's walking in truth. It's living a life of truth that is filled with love. That, my friends, is the essence of what God has called you and me to. And that, my friends, is what will attract many people to the gospel of Jesus Christ. That, my friends, is why Jesus has instructed the Apostle Paul in this fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians to put it as the fulcrum, the basis, the pivot point. You can know all these things. You can do all these things. And Joe and Jill, and the same challenge and the same charges for all of us. You can know everything. You can know all these things. But unless you truthing in love, unless you're living in love before Claire, it's going to come to naught. It's going to come to naught. Many times we want so bad for a loved one to come to Christ and to be in heaven when we're in heaven. And many times we don't know what to do. We've talked to them, and they won't listen. We get frustrated and we're like, why can't this happen? And sometimes they just need to see it because, friends, faith is more caught than taught. And it's about truthing in love. It's about living out your faith in truth, the solid foundation, the basis, the essence of why you believe what you believe before someone that you love. So much, so intentional, so focused that you want them to catch what you have. And that's the pivot point, friends. That's the absolute pivot point. I'm going to share with you a truth. And I didn't ask Joe and Jill. I hope this is okay that I share. But this is the truth of the matter. Last Christmas, I asked Joe and Jill to be part of our Christmas Eve service. And part of our Christmas Eve service, we have readings. I think it was last Christmas, wasn't it? And so I asked Joe and Jill to do readings. And I typically assign the readings. And I knew the struggles that Joe and Jill have had in the past. I knew all of that. And so I'm prayerfully considering and looking to, okay, who should read this? And I'm seeking God and asking him for, you know, his direction and his guidance. And the scripture, Luke 2, he kept pointing to Jill. Now, if you're familiar with Luke 2, it's where the angel comes to Mary and said, Mary, you will be with child. You will conceive. You will be with baby. I had no clue. I had no clue. It was a couple weeks later, and one phone conversation, I was pacing the fellowship hall, and I just couldn't get away from it. So I picked up the phone. I called Jill. And I said, Jill, I just can't get away from this. I just can't get away from it. It's right here. If you don't want to read it, that's fine. I would understand. She's like, no, I'll read it. A couple weeks later, Joe calls me and says, hey, I got an early Christmas present. Jill told me that she's expecting. Now, friends, I don't know about you, but when I look at Claire and I remember that account, you see, I am not going to make up something like that knowing the struggles that Joe and Jill have had. But what I do know is the truth of the matter is little Claire is a promise, just as the truth, the way, and the life Jesus has given to all of us, that God will see us through all these things. I don't have a crystal ball, nor do I believe in them things. I have one God, one Lord, one faith, and that's in Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. And because of that, when we baptize this young life, my hope and my prayer for sharing this is not to esteem Joe and Jill, not to esteem me, but to encourage your faith. Because sometimes in life we want and we want and we struggle and we're crying out, Lord, how long do I got to struggle with this? Where are you at, oh Lord? I don't understand what's going on. And the truth of the matter is that even when we think he's not working, he's at work. He's at work, friends. That's the truth. And what we need to do is our part. And our part is to live truth in love. Whatever that looks like, however that looks like, however that manifests itself out in your life and in mine. And so at this time, I'm going to ask Joe and Jill and precious Claire to come forward if you would. I don't think there's anything that brings me more joy. And especially as I shared with you a few moments ago, this young life, the promise, what this means, and not only for Joe and Jill, but for all of us, friends, for all of us. Our God is alive, he is living, he is seated on the throne of heaven, and no matter what happens, no matter how much truth is just battled here on this earth, he is the only truth. He is the only way, and he is the only life. And so my hope is your faith is encouraged, and as we celebrate this baptism of Claire Bible. Friends, baptism is an outward and visible sign of the grace in the Lord Jesus Christ, through which grace we become partakers of his righteousness and heirs of eternal life. Those receiving the sacrament are thereby marked as Christian disciples and initiated into the fellowship of Christ's holy church. Our Lord has expressly given to little children a place among the people of God, which holy privilege must not be denied them. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, how he said, "Let the children come to me, do not hinder them, for such belongs the kingdom of God." And Joe and Jill, do you, in presenting Claire for holy baptism, do you confess your faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? If you do, say we do.
We do.
And do you therefore accept as your bounden duty and privilege to live before Claire a life that becomes the gospel, to exercise all godly care, that she be brought up in the Christian faith, that she be taught the Holy Scriptures, and that she learn to give reverent attendance upon the private and public worship of God? If you do, say we will.
We will.
And will you endeavor to keep Claire under the ministry and guidance of the church until she, by the power of God, shall accept for herself the gift of salvation and be confirmed as a full and responsible member of Christ's holy church? If you will, say we will.
We will.
Okay, can you turn her this way? Precious Claire, I baptize you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And these little hands, we anoint these hands with the waters that God has given to us to place God's watermark upon everything that she touches and all that she does. May you bless and keep those things that she puts her hands to all the days of her life. And these precious little feet, May you walk with them, O Lord, and may you keep them on the path of straight and narrow. May you raise her up and grow her in the truth of your holy word. May you go before her, granting her favor, and bless her in the holy name of Jesus. Amen. And if you, as a congregation, if you would please stand. And do you, as a congregation, do you accept the responsibility of assisting Joe and Jill in fulfillment of the baptismal vows that they have made here, and they have presented Claire to be baptized this morning? And do you undertake to provide the facilities, the opportunities, the ministries for Christian guidance, for Christian nurture, and for Christian fellowship for those days that are ahead? If you do, say we will, by the grace of God. Let us pray. O God, our Heavenly Father, grant that Claire, as she grows in years, may also grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that by the restraining and renewing influence of the Holy Spirit, she may ever be a true child of yours, serving you faithfully all of her days. So guide and uphold Joe and Jill, that by loving care, wise counsel, and holy example, they may lead Claire into that life of faith, whose strength is righteousness, and whose fruit is everlasting joy and peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to ask Val to come forward. You come forward.
Hello. Hello, little Claire. Hello. I'm going to take this. It is with much joy, and it is much joy that I get to represent all of us, the brothers and sisters of Christ here at Trinity and your Trinity family, to present this rose to you. There it is. And so I studied a little bit, looked into the rose a little bit, and I'm so glad you got a red one, Pastor Max, because it represents love. And I see how the Holy Spirit has
truth and love
brought that together, because I studied the Word of God, and God has shown us His love in the greatest way in giving us Jesus. But the two scriptures that spoke to me the most is where Paul says, love must be sincere, and where we read in John that it says, we must not love only in words, but in deeds. So I pray that we, your brothers and sisters in Christ, will continue to show our love, our Christ-like love for you guys, for your family, for all, each of you individually, that we will be encouraging to you, that we will walk with you through parenting, through marriage, through our Christian journey, and that you will be blessed greatly by our Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Father. Then Joe and Jill, scriptures tell us that scriptures will never come back void. And it's never too early to start a young one getting the Word of God in her heart and soul. So we have this baby's little Bible and prayers that you can begin to read to her even now. It's never too early. Get God's Word in her. It will never come back void. Begin there. And then lastly, we have a certificate of baptism. So we're just going to load you up with all kinds of stuff here before you go. So, all right, let us pray if we would. Gracious Lord, for your mercy, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your peace. We rejoice with you, O God. We rejoice with you knowing that you are at work, and our role is to do truth in love, to live truth in love, to express your truth in love to others. And blessed Savior, even in this crazy world, may we be a fragrant offering to you, and may we just leave others with that smell of aroma of fragrance of righteousness. May they see you in us. May they sense your goodness as we live out the truth of your word, as we live out your love before them, and as we live out our faith before this young life, Claire. We praise you for Claire. We thank you for Joe and Jill. We pray that you would bless them and protect them. May you keep them all their days. We pray all this in the mighty name of the risen Savior Jesus, our living Lord, we do pray. Amen. As we close here this morning, may the God of all grace and all creation, may he bless you and keep you. May he find you living out truth in love before those that come across your path. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, may you be blessed with the peace that surpasses all understanding, the love that is poured in your hearts by the Holy Spirit. May you reflect what only God has given to you, and that is his love and truth, friends. In the name of the Father, go in peace.